is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this hour of News for the Soul. You can find us online. That's newsforthesoul.com. You can find us in all your very many apps that I do not know how to work. Honesty. And you can also, you know, call into the show. You can write in. We're going to do some mailbag here today, so you can write in with your shows and just put, ask El, please. And then they know to send it to me. So we're going to talk a little bit today, before we get to the mailbag, about your feelings. Oh, feelings. I know, totally off tune in my ode to Barbara Streisand, or my apologies as that may go, but your feelings, let's talk about those for a minute, because sometimes in self-development and spirituality, if you're a good little pumpkin, you don't have them, you don't have feelings, and that's not quite true. Again, you got to look out for those misusages of them. So sometimes you're going to have feelings and they're going to guide you in the right direction. Sometimes those feelings are going to warn you to stay away from somebody. Ew, icky, not them, no. that'll keep you out of bad relationships. When you override them, you tend to get burned or you feel really creeped out. Ladies who date men they should not, you know what I'm talking about. If you're giggling, I'm probably looking at you. For anybody who says, how does she do that? Sometimes they forget, you know, you can just say stuff and it'll apply to whoever it applies to. And they'll think, yes, it's absolutely directed to them. So it's okay. I'm not necessarily reading your particular mind. Just kidding. Maybe. But bottom line is that sounded a lot weirder than I meant it to. Okay. But bottom line, what happens is, though, that when you're looking at your feelings, you know, you're not always going to know where they come from. And sometimes they're not going to be beneficial to override because they're screaming in your face so badly, such as like, oh, creepy guy, no, you know, do you want to get into a car with creepy guy? I'm not saying it's always going to hurt you with every single guy that's creepy. I'm just saying, generally speaking, you know, you kind of don't want to encourage that because different people have different levels of where they're going to push in themselves too in terms of creepy. So somebody can rub you a little bit the wrong way. You know, that's not necessarily creepy. You just might not like them. maybe they were the cologne that your ninth grade teacher did. I still remember that guy. Man, he wore a lot of cologne. So, you know, the whole room, you could you could smell him down the hallway. You knew. And that guy was substitute teaching. So yeah, there's, you know, so there's that. And then there's like when people give you a little bit of a vibe, and then there's like really super creepy. So you got to remember there's all these different levels of creepiness. So, you know, a little bit creepy, I'm not saying they're necessarily going to be dangerous. It's just maybe not a good idea to date somebody who's, you know, super creepy, or, you know, it's not that you have to, if they show up with somebody else, you know, maybe you have a friend who's like, look, I got a date. And you're like, no, not that one. you know, and she shows up at your place for dinner with him. You know, it's not that you have to go run screaming to the door going, no, you will not come into my house and slam the door in his face. Because that's, you know, not going to be called for in a lot of places. but sometimes, absolutely, there will be people maybe, you know, some people have relatives like that where they're going to be bringing, you know, somebody very detrimental to dinner, so to speak, and you need to make it clear to them, like, that is not okay to bring to my house. Thank you very much. So, you know, a little creepy energy is not always going to hurt you, but it's like what leads up to the creepiness. and when do people get creepy? They start to, you know, get really more focused on predatory behaviors, doing harm, twisting things around a lot to justify things in their head, you know, twist things around to make them sexual so that you want it when you don't, especially not from them, and all those sorts of things. Those are the things that, you know, really start to get built up, and those are some of the contributors to when people get very creepy. So you know, saying that you're never going to have feelings, sometimes people get them mixed up with emotions, and you can Google the difference. I don't even know how to explain that, but I've read it. It makes sense. I'm hoping you read the same article I do. but basically, there's a difference between, you know, feelings and emotions get mixed up, but also sometimes, you know, if you've had a lot of bad experiences, you don't know what's going to be, what's good to be listening and what's not to be good to listening to be listening to. And also, you know, sometimes people feel any little thing and they don't really know how to control emotions. You get that. You also get people that don't know how much of an emotion is appropriate to be expressed. And that's when you can start to, you know, get into trouble, or how much of a feeling somebody has and how much to express it. And I actually want to do a little exercise with you. I want you all to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine running into somebody that you don't like. And I don't want you to traumatize yourself over this. So don't pick like the creepiest person, especially if you're the type where you think about that person, you're going to be, you know, horrified for 3 days. I don't want you to think about that, but I just want you to think of somebody that you don't like. Maybe they get under your skin a little bit. Again, not somebody who usually gets under your skin, but you just don't like them, and you understand that enough to know where you do not like them. And within that, I want you to see in your mind's eye, and I want you to feel, keeping it exact to how much you don't like them. I don't want you to make it that you like them more than you actually do. I don't want you to make it that you like them less than you actually do, because you think that makes you a good spiritual or self-development practitioner. I want you to be exact how much you actually dislike this person. Now, the reason I want you to be exact with this is being exact is part of your integrity. And it's one of the things where you get people who feel very overridden in life a lot. They'll start to sort of, they can't tell how much they should be feeling in certain areas or how much they can't. And they'll tend to like go wild sometimes with it and really shoot for the fences, really overshoot how much they're feeling. And they can start to get into a lot of trouble with that, because if you're reacting to something that you're feeling that's not actually an accurate amount to be reacting to, and when you're feeling this exactitude of how much you dislike somebody, you're getting what's going to be more of an appropriate reaction for you. Now, I'm not going to say this reaction is always going to be there exactly as it is, because as you do your work, those things will change. And I really want to be clear about that. But in this moment, seeing how much you actually are in dislike of that person, keeping it to exactly where it is and not over-exaggerating, that is what we call emotional control. So it's not that you're always having to stuff down, because stuffing it down isn't going to be good, because you're overriding your sensors that say, hey, maybe there's something wrong. And going over into it is not good either, because then you can, you know, maybe somebody took the last coffee pot at work for, you know, the automatic coffee machine. We call them pods up here. I don't know what you call them in other countries. They're little pre-packaged coffee grounds in a little piece of plastic that people put into a machine or dump into a machine. I don't know. I don't use them. However that works. You know, and maybe you're irritated with somebody with that. And going in, you know, just going in for lashing and dicing on that is going to be not only uncalled for, but it would actually be so overboard, it would actually be abusive. Why? It's a coffee pot. You may not like it, but there's a difference between not liking something and overwhelmingly decide to go in for the kill over it, especially on something that, even if it's annoying, it's still going to be more benign than somebody deliberately running over your cat, for example. So when you're feeling this exactitude, feel how you would react in exactitude. You're not reacting more than you need to. You're not reacting less than you need to, but just exact. That would be more of an example of what would be what we would call a more appropriate reaction to an issue at hand. Now, this reaction, you can let that go now and come back to present. So this idea that we have about not having feelings, it's not true. it's not even true that you're not going to have emotions. It's that as you do your work, these things are naturally going to change and they're naturally going to evolve. And it's not that you're never going to have an emotional reaction. And you hear a lot of ideas, spiritual ideas, and sometimes, you know, they're well-meaning, like, you know, oh, you're never going to, you know, you got to be careful of anyone. It's dark. I've heard that one a lot, you know. you're not in the light if you notice anybody's bad side. And is that true? No. Many advanced practitioners, and that's part of the reason how they're able to see what you're doing in a positive way. They're able to see what traits can play out in certain positive ways, but they also see where things are going to cause you problems. And it's the same thing with you, and it's the same thing with everybody else. And not noticing impact that it's going to have on other people, that's not really going to be very realistic, and it's not going to be healthy, especially for other people going through that. Now, when will you stop noticing impact that it has on other people? Number one, if you're really ignorant, that's going to happen. You get people who really sort of like bury their head in the sand because they don't want to deal with things. You know, sometimes it's just you're tired, right? Maybe you've got small children and your kids are fighting and you know that one of them started at this time, but one of them started at last time, and they're bickering and they're sorting things out and they're fighting and they're arguing. And you know there's no real resolution because, you know, one of them always starts it again or they're feeding off the argument last time, you know, whatever it is. So sometimes you just have to say, and it's not being ignorant, it's just sometimes you're tired. And you also know that you're never really going to be able to get an end to it until each person is willing to take responsibility for their side. And that can be a tall order for, you know, children. Some kids are better about it. You can work things out and they both go, oh, okay, we can come to peace now. And kids are really good about that, provided you can get to the heart of the problem. But then, of course, you know, when you're dealing with adults, it's not always that easy. In fact, some people it's downright difficult with. And sort of being out of reality with that does not make you quote-unquote light. What does happen is that when people do get very love embodied, I'm going to call it love embodied, but you can get to the state where it's actually natural and genuine. And notice the genuine part of it, not the fake stuff, the actual genuine. You actually can get to that point of having love in your heart, and you will not notice, and you will love everybody, and you will bring them into your heart, even if they're going to hurt you. Now, short of if you're in that space, that generally speaking is not going to be beneficial, again, depending on how you do it. Some people, when they've got a lot of codependency, when they're worried that you're going to hold their behaviors against them, they'll make it so that you have love in your heart and ignore everything. And, you know, if people have been hurt a lot, you know, if they don't know how to make things work, they want that in that moment too. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but if people do not have a lot of their behaviors resolved, and they're going to keep causing you problems, then you're obviously going to need to put a stop to that, and that may not be somebody who's beneficial for you to have around. You know, some people don't like that because they want to be accepted no matter what, because that's going to cure their suffering. But then as soon as they're not in that moment, and they're in a moment where they're at the receiving end of somebody else's harmful behaviors, then they'll get mad at having to do that because they don't want to do it, because they're on the flip side of it, which is understanding what it's like to be on the receiving end of certain behavioral patterns when those behavioral patterns hurt. And you have to understand that some of the people that are most pushing for you to sort of like glaze over everything are the exact same ones that are going to be the ones to be most likely hurt by being on the receiving end of those behaviors as soon as they're not in that space of wanting to be over, sort of like, I'm going to say overcompensated. You know, you have to love them no matter what they do to you, which is actually codependency. And a healthy, more advanced practitioner, they have a lot of love in their heart. They can keep a wide variety of people in their heart, even people they do not like, even people that would not harm them. But that doesn't mean that they let the person stay in their life. It does not mean they let them in their house. That's codependency. And there's a lot of, you know, different ways that people actually have protections in place that maybe people don't always understand. Now, sometimes people have been hurt so much, they want to be embraced no matter what, because they want to fall, you know, they want that love, they want to be in love, they want the relationship, regardless of what it is that they've done. And within that, some things are going to be too detrimental to be in a relationship with unless you're going to be really willing to take on somebody really dark who's really going to hurt you. And some people do go that route. I really want to be clear. I advise against that, hardcore advise against that, because it's going to take you down, and that shit is really, really hard to get out of. And it, people can do that to such a degree that it actually may stop being safe to be able to help them, unless, you know, somebody else is the type to, you know, have guns and the whole nine yards of stuff that you see in movies. So you got to be really careful with that stuff. And those people who are looking to be rescued may not like the people that are coming to rescue them. They may not like being on the receiving end of what's happening with the person's dark side when they're willing to rescue them. You see that sort of thing in movies too, right? They go to somebody who's going to break their legs if they don't pay up in time to borrow a lot of money, you know? Hey, save me, save me. Oh, wait, if I don't pay it back on time, they're going to break your legs, you know? So you kind of got to watch out for that stuff, because there's, you know, that level of it, which most people only see in movies. Not everybody only sees that in the movies, but most people only see that in movies, thank goodness. But you've got, like, you know, a lot of different levels of that where, you know, people, you could get really, really hurt by that. but when we're looking at, you know, going back to more mainstream stuff, there are always boundaries, even if people don't realize them, even if people don't like them. Store hours are a boundary. Why are store hours a boundary? Because a store closes at 10 o'clock at night. They're saying at 10 o'clock at night, we will stop serving you so that the staff can clean up, get the store prepared for tomorrow, whoever needs to stay and do that, so we can restock the shelves so everybody can go home and sleep. Why? Because it's important for people to go home and sleep, have a bite to eat, take care of their bodily functions, including, you know, spending time with their romantic partner. If the store closes at 6 o'clock, they get to go home, they get to have a late dinner, you know, they still get to spend some time with their kids before bed. They have an ability with that boundary to have a life outside of that. And why do we have that? Well, simply because not everybody's, you know, it's just a simple way of saying, like, hey, guess what? Our staff has needs. And not everybody always wants to respect that. So sometimes, you know, you'll see security guards at grocery stores. And they happen for different reasons, but when they first started happening, I was kind of curious. I'm like, why is there a security guard at the grocery store? And I'm like, hey, those jealous dealers are really going to get you, aren't they? Like, you know, like, really, what's happening here? And they're like, oh. Because when we close, some security guards have actually told me that they've actually gotten into physical altercations, fights, with people who have tried to get into the store past closing hour, or, you know, or at the last minute when they've started closing the doors, and people have started just demanding to go in, not taking anybody else's schedule into account, and being willing to, you know, punch. Or even attempt to knife in some cases because they want their Cheerios or, you know, their Cinnamon Toast Crunch or whatever it is, you know, at 10 o'clock at night. Now, in those cases, you know, what's really happening? Is it so bad that somebody wants, you know, something to eat? No. Usually when people are more responsible in their life, when they know how to be responsible, when they know how to be organized, they know that they're going to be hungry. They keep enough food in the house that they're going to want to eat late at night. And if they decide they're craving something else, they either learn the lesson, they crave more, and they get something more for the next day. They'll go to the store and they'll pick it up and they'll keep it on hand. They'll go to a store where they have to pay a little bit more. We have 24-hour convenience stores out here. We have Waves Coffee Shop used to be open for 24 hours a day. I don't know if it still is. So, I mean, you can go and you can get, you know, a piece of cake and a coffee or whatever at 3 o'clock in the morning if you want to do it. There's different ways to meet, like, a sugar craving, for example, or the munchies or whatever's happening in different ways, including, you know, maybe paying a couple dollars more and you go to a 7-Eleven, a 24-hour convenience store. At least it used to be 24-hour. I don't know. I don't know if they still are. I think they used to be, I'm not sure anymore. But let's say there was a convenience store that was open for 24 hours a day. You know, you can go to that, a gas station, whatever. But people don't always want to do those things. So instead they go to a store that is closing and they, you know, try to punch their way in or whatever. So, you know, there's always boundaries that people have and they tend to make sense. And you can usually have an extraordinarily good life within them. You just have to organize yourself a little bit differently. And that's all, you know, a good healthy boundary is just simply, you know, about that. It's just simply organizing self a little bit differently. And to say, like, you know, when we're looking at, you know, emotional control and this idea that, you know, you're not supposed to have any feelings about it, you're never supposed to say no or whatever else, or you're supposed to always have love in your heart and you're always supposed to let people invade you. You got to always watch out for those codependent aspects. You know, for example, a lot of these gurus, they would actually travel. So you couldn't actually, unless you had the money to travel to follow them from place to place, there were going to be time periods where you didn't know where they are. And part of the boundaries also were you were not allowed to tell people where they are. Some of the boundaries were also that you weren't allowed to tell people they existed because they didn't want to be hassled by people who were not there or who were not meant to find them. You see people who have got bodyguards. I had one teacher, he had a bodyguard. And, you know, you didn't necessarily know he was a bodyguard. You wouldn't have thought that until my teacher got off the stage and you saw that the way the guy was handling him was like, oh, look, that's bodyguard energy. You know, cool. And there's lots of different ways. You know, a secretary is a bodyguard for getting in. So these ideas like you're not allowed to have feelings because sometimes those feelings also cause you to react. Those feelings cause you to realize, hey, guess what? I need to put a stronger boundary in here. Those feelings sometimes have you realize like, hey, maybe I need more of a boundary than running my business out of my home. Maybe I want an office where there's a security guard. That's a boundary. You know, there's all sorts of ways to put boundaries in places and your feelings can lead you to that. It can lead you to realize you want to do your business online because you don't want people stopping by the house. It can lead you to realize that you need a security guard. It can lead you to realize that you need to work in a building where there is a security guard already present. There's all sorts of ways that your feelings actually help you to make your life work better. And the only, you know, sort of little hitch in that is that you can do it from a negative point, an unserving point, which is always being overreactive to everything, trying to control things. Or a positive version of using your feelings is like there's something wrong here. And the advanced practitioner also knows, hey, wait a minute, I'm feeling like this all the time. I need to go work this out. I need to talk to somebody. I need to go for coaching. I need to, in some cases, maybe somebody needs to go see a therapist. But they have people that they're going to work those things out with because they realize that the way that they're handling things doesn't make sense. And that's another thing that your feelings can do are to alert you that there's something going on within you that you actually need to talk to somebody outside of yourself in order to work on so you can stop having that problem. So this idea, you'll see all these different ways that like having feelings actually makes sense and they can actually help you when you know how to use them appropriately. They can actually help to guide you to where you need to go and keep you away from where you don't need to go and also let you know when you have that little hitch and you know it's you, also tell you like, hey, guess what? This is where I need to go in and talk to somebody because it'll take your growth process further. And I want you to know through all of that, none of it is about codependency unless you're going codependent with it. None of it is about being a bad person unless you're using it to be a bad person. The only thing it's about is, hey, guess what? This is what I need to do here because this is going to make more sense for healthy, positive, serving growth. And then that's the reason why you have emotions. That's the reason why you have feelings. It's just part of the process of like, hey, guess what? Do this or don't do that. And when you do it and you learn how to listen, then you can really take your growth up quite a long ways. So we're going to do mailbag here. So we have Sheila in Australia. I'm starting to want to pronounce it interestingly. Sheila in Australia. That's not even right. That's not even the right accent. It's like trying to come out like an Aussie accent. I can feel that push. And I don't know how to do an Aussie accent, so ha-ha. It's trying to push me into an Australian accent, and oh, I can't do it. Interesting. Okay, so Sheila in Australia, still fudging with my wording. Where is her soulmate, and when is in this lifetime is she going to find them? So one moment here, Sheila in Australia. Okay, so Sheila, I can see that you're really want a soulmate. I can feel a little bit of your frustration, through your messaging. The problem is when I do the reading, the desire for the soulmate is so overwhelming, so loud, so all-encompassing. I can't do a read because I can't see anything beyond that. It's like you're just shooting out, not even fireworks, sweetheart. It's like every time you ask, where's my soulmate? You stick up an entire city around you and nobody can find you in there. It's like, where's Sheila? Where's Sheila? So even if somebody was like, hey, Sheila's pretty cute, I want to go find Sheila, they're going to have a heck of a time trying to sort of get in there, because they're not going to be able to find you. Now, if we're talking about a city, that makes sense. If we're talking about emotionally, sometimes when people sort of think that the soulmate's going to be the answer to the problems, they can start to sort of like get overboard with the focus on the soulmate. That can end up radiating out so widely that it becomes extraordinarily hard for people to deal with. Because here's the thing. Oh, good. We got a little bit of it calming down. Yay. Go Sheila. because here's the thing. The soulmate, sometimes people think the soulmate's the answer. And the soulmate is not the answer. But sometimes when people think it is, they think, well, if this person's going to love me, well, love is the answer, right? Yes and no, but it's you have to learn how to have love in your heart. If you're not capable of receiving love, and some people have a very, very hard time with that. Some people cannot tell when somebody loves them. That would be a really good thing to go see a somatic therapist about. That would be a really good thing to go see a neural practitioner about who does neural manipulations. because there's actually a lot of things that can go physically wrong with the body as well. That can actually put a stop to people being able to see these things. And unfortunately, because anybody who's not in that position usually understands that the soulmate is not going to be all the answers, which I'm seeing there's a lot of struggle for you with, Sheila. The problem with it doesn't change anything. And when people think it's, sort of like going to be the answer, it's because they usually think that the soulmate is going to take care of a bunch of things that the person does not know how to do on their own. So if you think a soulmate's going to take care of you financially, then some people want their soulmate because they want that to be able to make ends meet. If a person doesn't know how to get along with other people, they want a soulmate because they think the person's going to love them no matter what or no matter what they do to them. And, sometimes you get people who put that out there in their letters on how to find a partner. A partner should love you no matter what you do. Yes and no. And the reason I say no is because there are some very abusive people out there who have that idea. And the reason they're so abusive is because they don't think that they should have to curtail anything and you should love them anyways. And that's what it looks like it is in extreme. Now, do you want a soulmate who's going to love you anyways, even if you like oranges or don't like oranges or eat oranges or don't like oranges or do or do not eat rice or wheat or dairy, or pineapple or pizza, whatever it is? Well, yeah, you really want people who've got more, stability and more perseverance where they can love you in spite of the fact that you may or may not like certain foods. You do want that, but, there does become a limit with, how much you're going to be able to take. And it's good for you to have a limit about how much you're going to be able to take. Some people, when they've got extreme codependency, and that might be when we're sort of looking more at the psychiatric version, the codependency, some people are just going to go right into, they're going to take abuse because you're a good person if you allow yourself to get abused. And that would be more therapy. That would not be coaching unless a coach is saying that they're dealing with that in terms of trauma. But short of that, though, very, very short of that, you know, there are things that we need to do in order to have our own growth, and a soulmate's not really going to be able to provide that. A soulmate may give us the opportunity to engage in different behaviors should we choose to, but you still have to be the one to do them. So if a soulmate is a great cook and they're a very healthy cook, you still have to like vegetables. You still have to be willing to eat your vegetables. You know, it doesn't change the fact that you're going to have to eat vegetables for your health. It does not change the fact that you're going to have to eat healthy in order to have health. And, you know, some people kind of get to the point where they think that they don't have to cooperate with life so much, and a soulmate's going to love them anyways. unless you were looking for somebody who was also at that level, and I would warn against that, then you're going to end up, you know, it's not quite going to work, because there has to be enough participation in life for people to sort of like give and have equal quality. And sometimes you bring more of one value to the table, and sometimes your partner brings more of another value to the table. And it's that growth that we have, that opportunity for growth, that inspires people to want to stay. But if they're scared of it, if they'll still need it, or they'll need it in certain ways, but if they're scared of it, then they'll actually attack it. So that's when you get people who like really chase after you. They think they're an answer to dreams, and then they attack it because they're not ready yet. And for people who are wondering if somebody doesn't come in and save them, that can be one of the things that, one of the reasons why people don't come in and save them. And so none of that was a read, but just giving you different ideas, Sheila, about like why people sometimes get this overwhelming soulmate energy. And because you are willing to put things down, I can actually go in there and do a reading. So for you, one of the blockages is I actually see quite a large amount of fear, like huge amounts of fear. So, okay, Sheila was, you know, we're going back to the city. Sheila was letting me into the city, which was really good. You know, she's letting me find her. But, sweetheart, I see you, and you are, like, terrified, slammed up against the wall, just absolutely, like, just shaking in your boots. And the thing is, like, I can, you know, see somebody. It's like, okay, where's Sheila's soulmate? And so I'm seeing somebody kind of putter around, but it's like, you're too terrified to go and find them. And you're going to have to sort of be willing to make those steps in order to do it. And here's the thing, even if I can get you over there, which I can, which is good, because it does show that there is some flexibility in you, okay, and some ability, it doesn't even look like a very positive serving relationship. So if we get someone where you're going to have to, where you're actually going to like them and it's going to be beneficial, you're going to have some stuff that you need to work out. And in terms of finding them, you know, you do your work. I'm seeing 2023, which is not that far off. I know usually people want it a little bit sooner, but there is, you know, somebody there, and you're at least going to be happy, whereas with the person that I currently see, really not happy. Neither of you would actually be happy, and you would get like maybe 5 years out of it. But when I see the person you'd actually be happy with, you're going to have to really go up to do the work, and you're going to have to go up for a few levels. And let's see, you'd be willing to go into it for 10 years, but they'd only be willing to go into it for 2. And so, you know, if we keep climbing, I mean, a lot of people find their soulmates more when they're at the end of the quest, so to speak. Not completely, but as they've gotten more of their work under their belt, some people don't find their soulmates until later. Because they're just going to find it at the end. And you can find soulmates. I mean, it's not hard. But if, I know it sounds kind of funny, right? It's not hard to find a soulmate. Billions of people on the planet just went, where's mine then? So there's a difference between finding a soulmate and finding somebody you actually want to be in a relationship with, that you would probably consider a soulmate that you'd be happy with, are two totally different things, because there are some people out there who are making very bad choices for themselves that you're not going to want to go anywhere near, and they are completely naturally going to think of you as their soulmate. Zero question. You know, and I'm far from suggesting you go that route. Some people really want to go that route, and that's how they keep ending up in harm. That's how they keep ending up in abusive situations, all those sorts of things. Your guides are being clear. They want you to abstain from those things. They want you to have a better, they want you to have a better romantic relationship than that. But let's see here. Interesting. Hold on here. Okay, Sheila. I am going to actually cancel out that reading. I just saw all this stuff, and there's this dark shadow kind of following you around, and I'm seeing like the dark, and I saw something at the beginning, and it's like, okay, you're scared of something. We'll get to that in a minute. We're seeing all this. We're seeing all this. We're seeing all this. And it's really interesting because, I mean, this is probably, reading-wise, this is probably one of the most terrifying reads that I've ever done, in terms of, like, going in there, seeing somebody scared, seeing all the dark energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it just got, okay, what if she talked to Jane? So Jane Phillips is on Mondays, 2 p.m. PST. And when I do that, I'd really suggest you go talk to Jane and actually get a clearing done energetically, because all of a sudden I see like a totally, completely and absolutely different person. So all this darkness, and I mean, stuff is getting pretty dark in there. It's like, you know, warn her about, you know, going into that, warn her about abusive relationships and all that. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, just wait a minute, have her talk to Jane. And then the person that you are outside of that, totally different person. So I'm not saying the read is accurate or not. I'm just saying go talk to Jane, because I see a huge lump of super, super, super dark energy just kind of like go from you talking to Jane. And see, hold on. I'm going to see if I can even do the reading on you post Jane. I'm having to do some energy clearing because there was a big one there. Holy Batman. Okay. Still here. Just hold on. Yeah. So, Sheila, I'm actually going to have to let that reading go. I actually have to do a cleaning now. Yay. So yeah, talk to Jane first, and then you're more than welcome to write in after, but get that clearing done from Jane first. And please make sure Jane is the next person that you get a hold of, or somebody who's very good at doing those kinds of cleansings, before you get a reading from somebody else. You don't want that energy sort of put in. Okay. So hold on, everybody. I'm here. Just a minute. So here, hold on. Oh, that was a big one. So Sheila, until that's cleared, I'm not going back in there. I'm sorry, but more than happy to do a reading for you after. Just currently, I'm going to have to say no until you talk to Jane, because otherwise I'd have to shut down the show in order to do those cleansings. So good luck with that. But yeah, that may not, until that's gone, I don't know if that was, and I'm not going to check, I'm sorry, but a lot of these things get so sticky, and clearing those things for other people is not my forte. So sorry about that, but good luck with that. Let's see here. Hold on. Just seeing if I could clear this out before I could see if I could continue with the show. Otherwise, I have to cut off the show. Usually they warn me, and oh, crap. Okay, there was a warning. It was more subtle. I'm like, okay, just put her over there, and I will do it. And I got bombed. Let's see here. Okay. Okay, yep, I can do it now. Holy boy. Okay, yay. Dale in Texas. He wants to know if I see his new independent home business investment working out for him. One moment here, Dale in Texas. So, I mean, a bit. I mean, I can see you getting a couple grand a month out of it. So, you know, that's, hold on. Oh, nope. A couple grand, not a couple grand a month. Yeah, it just doesn't look like you have the personality type. Some people really don't want to, you know, work for other people. But you have to actually look at, like, what a lot of the qualities of an entrepreneur are. And you really have to be willing to dig in there, you know, keep the self-discipline, keep things going all the time. You know, it's a lot of research. It's a lot of lonely work on your own. You know, sometimes when people find it more challenging to deal with other people, they think the answer is to work on their own. But having something to work out with other people is not the same thing as better off working by yourself. It is not the same thing as working on a business for yourself. So let's see here. Yeah, so what I'm being shown, Dale, is for you, finding somebody that you're inspired by, that you're really, really inspired by. You're like, yeah, I want to work with that person. That seems like it's the best thing for you business-wise, to find somebody who, you know, you're like, yeah, you're excited about going to work. You know, they're really awesome. You're like, yeah, you're really happy and proud to be working with that person, and you're going to do the work. That seems like it would be the best thing to get you the most productive, and that seems like it would be the best thing to be more to get you more financially able and to have things working out for you the best. And again, you know, hopefully you would be able to do those sorts of things on your own, but it seems like you're still at the point where instead of knowing what your own motivations are and knowing how to work through those, it still seems like you're more reliant on being inspired by somebody else. You know, and I mean, inspiration's great because, I mean, I've got people I'm inspired by. Absolutely. You know, they inspire you to be a better person, all those sorts of things. It's just simply that should not be the only thing that's getting you to work on time. It should not be the only thing that's getting you to work for the day or to put in enough of the hours. Is the fact that you're inspired, because at some point, even the most inspirational person, they're not going to be there all the time. They're going to need people to work under their own power. And it seems like you have some stuff that you need to work out in order to be more centered and grounded on, like, these are the things that are really going to be beneficial for Dale to do. You know, these are the qualities that Dale exhibits. These are the qualities that Dale needs to put more in. These are the things Dale's going to need to push in order to get, you know, motivated more on. These are the things that Dale's going to have to learn how to let go of. These are the things where Dale's going to have to learn how to do differently. And all of those sorts of things would help you tremendously in business. I mean, absolutely hardcore. And then if I get you there doing all that, I mean, you're working with somebody else. I'm getting like liquid gold. I mean, you know, I'm getting like ding, 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 ding. There's the money. And still with that, you know, we're talking about Dale being like really, you know, go get him and really on top of the ball and all those sorts of things. And I put you in an independent home business investment and bam, it falls flat. And it just doesn't seem like it's your personality type. So, you know, I mean, you know, hey, you know, totally up to you what you're going to do. But it seems, you know, some people are people. And there's absolutely zero wrong with that. And if you realize that you do work better with people that you're inspired by, but you're having a bit of a trouble finding somebody that you can get along with, et cetera, then it's just time to do your own work. And that's it. And when you do that, you figure out all these amazing things that I've just told you about Dale. You figure those things out, and then you can really make things happen for yourself. But yeah, you, still good for you to be working with other people. So let's see now. We have Trisha in Connecticut, and she was wondering what her message, her spirit guide has for her today. One moment here. Oh, Okay, and then Elaine in New York, I'm going to be really quick too because I get, what do I need to do to become more intuitive? And they're trying to push Trisha out. I announced Trisha, and they're like, no, you need to read Elaine. So Elaine in New York, you will be next. So here, Trisha in Connecticut, one moment here. Hold on. Hold on here. So, Trisha, your spirit guide's really showing about having that connection and sort of like really trying to make things happen for you outside of yourself. So I get a lot of, you know, here's Trisha flowing. You know, it's kind of like if we're watching a documentary on Gaia, we would see this divine feminine nature, you know, putting the flower petals up into the air. And it's not that you're necessarily nature-based. I'm just trying to describe how I keep seeing this woman who is, like, putting these petals up to the heavens. You know, and it's very, you know, it doesn't quite feel like Guy, I'm just trying to describe it, but it's like this woman who keeps putting these petals, and it's like, look, I'm going to put petals up here, and everything's going to be okay, and, you know, everything's going to be wonderful, but it's sort of like you're walking around with this little bit of discord of, like, trying to make yourself okay, and, you know, I mean, I think putting petals on a ceiling, you know, some, like, grand ballroom for somebody's birthday party or something, I think that would be fabulous. I mean, oh my gosh, what a wonderful, beautiful experience that would be. That would be awesome. But it's kind of like you're trying to make that, putting the petals in there, putting the petals into the etheric, I mean, even prettier. But it's like you're trying to sort of like put all the petals up there and they're not really satisfying the internal need because it's always outside. And I know sometimes when we talk about the inside stuff, it's really hard for people to understand sometimes that they have to do their inner work in order to get the results. But I want you to think of something that you've eaten recently that's, like, really made you happy. Or maybe you've taken a walk or, you know, spent some time, maybe you found a new puppy or a new kitten or something. You're, like, playing with it and it's like, oh my gosh, your heart just overwhelms with, like, cuteness and gratitude. Those would be an example, those moments, of what it'd be more like to do your inner work. And instead of having just moments with it, like puppies, I mean, come on, puppies. Instead of just having that inner few moments while the puppy is there, you're really talking about having enough of it going on where you're having an expansion. So it's not just, you know, you spent 5 minutes with a puppy, you're happy until the puppy walks away. It's that you spent 10 minutes with puppy and like half an hour later, you know, you're just still having a great day because you played with puppy and not because you're still holding on to the energy of the puppy, trying to make yourself okay and happy by overusing the puppy's energy, even though the puppy's gone. It's just you yourself have that blooming within yourself that you're happy and you're okay because there is some trying to make yourself okay. And Trisha, I mean, you've got nice energy. Like, really, I mean, you've got, don't even know how to explain it, but you've got like this really, it's not quite like a blanket. It's not like wrapping yourself up in a blanket. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just very, very pleasing. and so you've got this, but it's kind of like you're more focused on the outside than internally. And, you know, that I like tea, so, you know, having a tea in the morning for me, oh, that does it. But, you know, whether it's a tea, it's a playing with a puppy, playing with a kitten, whatever it is, those things are just drops in the bucket. getting flowers, getting a new couch, whatever it is, however that looks like for you, those are just small drops in the bucket. And doing them, sort of like having things expanded more and more and more, will actually get you to having that capability more. And I'm getting, you know, I mentioned the couch and I get this, I'm not shallow. Having a couch and having the ability to enjoy your couch is not being shallow. Sometimes people think that you always have to be in the emotional stuff in order for it to be deep, and that's not true. Because when you're enjoying your couch, well, that is part of your emotional stuff. And it's part of life on this planet, and it's part of opening up. It's also part of learning that you're okay. So you kind of get up in some ways, you know, you got to watch out for shallow stuff. And in some ways, you kind of got to look out for the shallow stuff, because the shallow stuff is not always shallow just because some people want to bash it as shallow. You know, you're shallow for wanting a nice car. No, you can absolutely, you can appreciate the fine, you know, you can appreciate the skill set that it takes to put it. You can appreciate the fine machinery. You can enjoy, you know, that feeling of like rushing down the highway. And there's these experiences on the planet that you can intuitively, you know, sort of feel. And when you're trying to heal people, P.S., part of the way that you actually heal them is to be okay in having these sensory experiences, because it's part of what lets them know that life's okay. And while there is, you know, times where you will go beyond that, unless you're like 100% always walking around super connected, feeling, you know, the universe and the stars and all the life forces and all that, which I mean, I think is pretty freaking cool. But, you know, part of the other things, those sensory things, are part of the things that help to get people out of pain and suffering. They are part of what helps people to get used to being on the planet. They are part of what helps to get people to enjoy the planet. And having those experiences can open you up to more joy and happiness, and that's when you can feel more secure to let in other things. So it is an inside job. It doesn't always have to start with a couch. I'm just saying don't knock the couch, but a lot of these different experiences, this is what it means more like for having those internal experiences. And yes, being open to the spiritual stuff as well, which I'm saying that you like. I'm just saying that you have to figure out how to pull it in and embody it in the body more, because you're kind of like thinking it's still outside of you and you need to pull it in more. And maybe, you know, instead of always going outside trying to make yourself okay, focus more on the feelings first. And, you know, whether it's a couch or tea or puppies, whatever, if that helps get you there, that'll help create an opening for you. So, you know, hopefully you can embody the rest of the spiritual stuff as well. So we're at the top of the hour. And, oh, Elaine, I'm so sorry about that. It was a push, but I had already announced Trisha. So, Elaine, you are in the mailbag, and I will get to you at a certain point in time. So thank you everybody so much. My name is El Hosham Tara. I'm here every single week at 3 p.m. PST on newsforthesoul.com. You can find us on all your devices. You can find us here online. And you can go to my website as well. I'm at www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. You can come for coaching. The coaching is what's really going to get you there. So always happy to do the reads, but come for the coaching. Come for the readings too if you're only going to want to do the readings, but come for the coaching as well. Thank you so much, everybody. I love you, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.